Hello and welcome to DGT Radio, DGT's knowledge sharing podcast, exploring themes and topics that are relevant to our everyday work.
Désormais, les citoyens ont le même droit d'initiative politique que celui dont dispose ici même le Conseil des ministres et le Parlement européen. Il suffira de 7 citoyens rassemblés dans un comité organisateur.
Peut-être cette initiative citoyenne qui symbolise le plus le nouveau rôle du citoyen dans l'Union après Lisbonne. Ce n'est donc pas seulement une première au niveau européen, c'est tout simplement une première mondiale.
These words were pronounced by the French politician Alain Lamassoure and the Belgian politician Olivier Chastel in the European Parliament 11 years ago. What is this initiative they're talking about? It is the European Citizens Initiative, the ECI, which we in DGT have been translating about regularly since its creation in 2012. We thought it would be interesting to get to know more about this unique pan-European instrument of multilingual participatory democracy. And for this, we invited an insider, an actual member of the ECI team in the European Commission, to talk to us. So today, for this new episode of DGT Radio, I have cycled to the Berlaymont building in the European Quarter in Brussels to meet Barbara Valentinovic. Barbara, you work for the Secretariat General in the European Commission, so Secretariat General, as we say in French, or SG or SG in our jargon. And we have arranged to meet today to speak about the European Citizens Initiative, the ECI, the l'Initiative Citoyenne Européenne. So first, Barbara, thank you very much for inviting me in your office and also for accepting my invitation.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
So the ECI is, for our listeners who maybe don't know about it, it's a bit like a petition that citizens address the European Commission to ask the European Commission to adopt new legislation. But it's actually much more than a petition, but you'll tell us about it. And ECIs are pan-European, which means that they are multilingual, which means that translation is involved, and that's where DGT is involved as well. So we thought it would be really interesting for DGT to talk to an insider, someone from the ECI team who collaborates with us in DGT, and to get to know more about the ECI and how we collaborate. And we thought it was particularly interesting to talk to you, Barbara, as you have been a translator in a previous life for the EU. So can you tell us about that?
Well, yes, I was a translator for the Committee of the Regions and Economic and Social Committee for my first 5 years here in Brussels, so 2005-2010.
As I said, the European Citizens Initiative is a bit like a petition, but much more. Could you explain in a few words what it is and what it is for, what citizens can do with it?
Well, they say it's definitely much more than a petition because it has much stronger value. The ECI is a way for citizens to request new laws, new rules, or amendments in existing rules. So first of all, when citizens start an ECI, you need 7 citizens from 7 member states. They send an initial request to us, to here in the Secretariat General, and it is checked if this is something legally admissible. So we check it also with the legal service. And only then, when it is accepted and registered, they can start collecting the 1 million signatures which is needed. And the idea is there is no sense in collecting 1 million signatures and finally the Commission cannot do anything. So that's the logic. And once they collect the 1 million signatures, this is treated very seriously. So there is a hearing in the parliament, there is a meeting with the commissioners in charge in the first stage, hearing the parliament, and there is an official reply of the commission in the form of a communication adopted by the college. So that's why also very organizers say, yeah, we chose for it because we found it's a strong institutional mechanism.
So the basis is 1 million signature, 7 countries, huh? So maybe let's take one European Citizens Initiative, and maybe you can walk us through the different steps of the initiative, and what the organizers have to do and what the Commission has to do. I was thinking of a European Citizen Initiative called Stop Finning, Stop the Trade. Maybe you can tell us what these organizers want and what they've had to do and what they have achieved.
Stop Finning, Stop the Trade was about sharks, basically. So it's about the stopping finning, which means cutting the fin of the shark, and because it's like a thing that you can sell in Asia while you basically kill the animal, and that's quite a cruel practice. So they wanted to stop this practice, which already is forbidden, but also to completely stop the trade of shark fins. Yes, so to walk you through all the stages, so as I mentioned in the beginning, you need 7 EU citizens to create a group of organizers and to submit the first request. Their request was, of course, accepted. So from the moment that their request is accepted, when they receive the official registration decision, which is, by the way, adopted in oral procedure by the college, when they receive the information, they have 6 months to start collection. That helps them to prepare their campaign, collect funds, have the volunteers group, etc., social media campaigns. And then they have 1 year to collect the signatures, or more than signatures, it's so-called statements of support, which means you have to give your name, and depending on the country, your ID number or your address and date of birth. So that's why it's not so easy to collect 1 million. So mm-hmm. Comparing, for example, some petitions online where you only give an email, mm-hmm. it's a bit more difficult, but also because this is a more serious instrument and it has to be verified. So that's why these need to be collected. So yeah, they have 1 year. In their case, it was 2 years because of COVID. We granted extensions to the ECIs who were collecting during COVID because they had no possibility to campaign beside online. So to give them the time to adjust. They had between 3 months and 12 months of extra time. These ones, they got 1 year in total. Mm-hmm. And they managed to collect, I think, in the last month, 500,000. So that was quite an achievement.
So half of what they needed, they got really at the very end. Huh?
Yes, okay. Yes. But it's very often like a snowball effect, because then it goes through some influencers. In their case, it was influencers and people who were addressing it to other people, and it mm-hmm. it went on quite quickly. Mm-hmm. So once they collect, they inform us, and they have 3 months to submit those statements of support. It's all very protected because it's personal data. So there are all systems encrypted where they have to give where they give access to the data they collected to each country. So each country receives the data of their citizens, which again they have 3 months to verify. And only then, when only after this verification, there is 1 million with some thresholds in at least 7 member states, then it can be considered successful. And then they submit it to Commission for examination. And from that moment, there's quite little time on our side. It's 6 months where we have to organize a meeting with Commission representatives. Usually it's at Commissioner level. Then there is a public hearing in the European Parliament. And then an official reply, again, adopted in oral procedure by the college, has to be presented within 6 months. And so in the case of Stop Finning, they presented their ECI as successful in January 2023, this year. And the reply was adopted in early July.
And what was the reply?
What was the reply? The reply was, well, what they wanted to ban the trade. This was not given, but what was the reply was that there will be an impact assessment of such a ban on fishing industry, etc., on biodiversity. So this impact assessment should start this year, and that was the main part of the answer. There were also some other actions, both on international level, for example, trying to dissuade Asian countries from using the fins, or to dissuade other countries from the trade, but also better monitoring, better checks, both mm-hmm. by sea inspections, but also at the borders, for example.
Now, I know that there are a number of European Citizens Initiative who don't get the million signatures, as it's quite difficult. And still, I understand that most of the time the organizers say that it's still worth it. What do they say, maybe to you or in the media, about how useful launching an ECI can be, whatever the results?
Yes, we've heard several of them mentioning that, yes, we didn't collect 1 million, but we made the problem, the issue we were fighting for, visible at the European level. For example, the European Parliament's Committee on Petitions, they invite them to present the ACI, and sometimes they, in a way, convert it into a petition that is then treated as one. I know there was one or two that was mentioned in some Parliament's resolutions, but in general, in the European, say, bubble, they become more visible. Mm-hmm. Already from the moment when they are registered, because, for example, when one is registered, we inform all the relevant DGs about it. So internally here, it's visible. Also, it helps them, because usually it's organizations behind the NGOs, it helps them to expand their networks, to find other organizations working on similar topics in other countries. So then, and also often here also on personal level, it's an excellent way to find out how European affairs work from, mm-hmm. from inside and mm-hmm. to grow their networks.
Now, as we said, ECI is a pan-European tool, so it involves several countries, it involves several languages, and I was wondering, what are the linguistic requirements for organizers? Can they organize their initiative in their own language? Do they have to have it translated in all EU official languages?
No, the rule is that they can submit their documents in any official EU language. To be frank, most often it is English, but we have recently had ECIs in Romanian, in Italian, in French, so they are submitted in different languages. We take care of the translation with the help of DGT. Mm-hmm. Luckily, there are limits to what they can submit, so each mm-hmm. part of the request, so the general description, but also the annexes, they have limits in length. Yes, so that's... And also, what is interesting, that's when they submit in a certain language, then the official reply is adopted in English and that language, but that language becomes the official one. See, this means that the official language is the one in which they submit us. I say they submitted in Italian, the translation actually of our reply in it was done in English is the official version. So we usually inform translators about it.
Okay, so let's say you receive something in Italian, you reply in English, it's translated into Italian, and this Italian version becomes the official one. Okay, so it's particularly important, but the translators know about it. Okay. And so that's one thing that gets translated, a very important thing, obviously, that gets translated by DGT. Is there other content that you ask DGT to translate for the European Citizens Initiative, maybe in terms of communication or the other things?
Oh, yes, there is a lot of lot of materials we ask DGT to translate. Well, of course, the ECI website, which is quite rich. We have all the parts, like, about the explanation how this mechanism works, all the frequently asked questions and so on. But also we have regularly news. And also there's an ECI forum, which is a collaborative platform for organizers, but whoever who is interested in the ECI. And also there are guidance notes for organizers. There are organized webinars, which are in English, but then the summary of the webinar is translated and so on. So we have quite a lot of materials. And of course, different communication campaigns, so from social media to articles in the media, etc.
And I think you also use e-translation, which is DGT's machine translation tool. What do you use it for?
Well, we use it mainly for the newsletter. Mm-hmm. We have a monthly newsletter, it was always written in English, and then it used to be translated into French and German only.
Yes, I translated it. I remember translating it into French. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but then when e-translation was introduced, we thought it was more fair for citizens to get them all in their own language, so we have introduced the e-translation. It seems to work fine. We had some little complaints from German and French readers, but in general, people were happy. The thing is, when you write for e-translation, you have to write in a specific way. You have to write in really simple sentences, not use metaphors, not use double-meaning words, because translation might not always catch it. Mm-hmm. Luckily, it uses the memory of the translation, so usually the titles of the ECIs are translated correctly, but we've seen already funny mistranslated titles of the
imagine.
ECIs. Yeah. So that's what we mainly use e-translation for. Also, we have news on our website, which are translated by DGT, but between the time that they are posted and when the translation arrives, there is an e-translation in the meantime.
Oh, I see. Okay. So basically you use e-translation when you need really quick translations or translations that you will maybe edit until the very last minute before you publish it.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because also the newsletter, it was always a bit of a difficult situation because we had to have it ready really early. to have it translated. While in the meantime, things were happening. In the 10 days of translation, things were happening that we wanted to include in the newsletter. And we have sometimes had to ask French or German colleagues to help us translate a news or two to include it still in the newsletter. So, yeah, on our side, it definitely facilitates things to have the translation, because then we can edit the newsletter till the last moment.
Now, I'd like to know a bit more about your team. How many are you?
Well, actually, we are 7. So we have 4 policy officers, we have 2 assistants, and we have an intramuros colleague from the contractor, so who is dealing with communication. And so we have 2 lawyers who deal with the initial requests before they actually send to legal service, but they do the first interpretation, if the ACI is registrable or not. And we have colleagues, like me and another colleague, who do the communication mainly. We have the ECI forum, with IT, we have quite a big IT component. Also the data protection, the system to collect signatures. It's a big IT machine, so we work closely with colleagues from Digit.
Yeah, because you offer a collection system to the organizers. Can they choose between their own system and your system, or do they have to choose your system?
This was an option until the end of 2022. There was an option to use individual online collection system, but in the regulation it was decided that it's only until end of 2022. It is used to be in the previous regulation there was this option of individual. Since then it was like member states' decision that they prefer to have a system that's secure, also for data protection, coming from the Commission.
Yeah. Okay. So,
and they can also collect on paper, which they do less and less nowadays, especially since COVID. But they can still do it, and some do it to some extent.
So you have an IT team that is really dedicated to you, or
There are colleagues in Digit who deal with the IT system, and sometimes they have to work really quick with. And there's, for example, when there is a problem, if suddenly the system doesn't work, they have to really solve it quickly.
Could you give us a few figures about the European Citizens Initiative? I read in an article, but the article was published in 2022, that 16 million people had supported European Citizens Initiatives. Do you agree with that figure? And I was wondering how many ECIs have been launched since the beginning, which was 11 years ago, I think now.
Well, in April we registered the 100th initiative, but since then we have 103, and soon probably a bit more, with on average 10 per year. So, that was the number. On the successful side, we had 9 that have been replied, 1 that is now under examination. It's called Fair Free Europe. We have 2 that might be submitted, so it's about 12. So on the numbers, we have easily 12 million, actually more, because many of them collected 1.3 million, 1.5 million.
Wow.
So the figure, we estimate at least 18 million signatures. It might be that one person has signed many of them, so it's difficult to say how many people, but we can say how many statements of support were there.
As you said, many ECIs have been launched over the years. Ban Glyphosate, Right to Water, Save Bees and Farmers, connecting all European capitals with high-speed trains. What are the latest ones?
Well, the latest one registered was in August. It's about protecting Ukrainian culture. Preservation and development of Ukrainian culture, education, language and traditions in EU states. It also mentions about integration of Ukrainian refugees. It was registered but has not started collecting yet. Also one that was registered recently but has not started, it's called Taxe la Grande Fortune.
Was it in French, this one?
Yes, this one was in French.
Okay.
The group is made up of French and Belgian, also politicians. And the one that has just started collection a few days ago is called End the Horse Slaughter Age, and it's asking for a law to ban the slaughter of horses. Mm-hmm. We have quite a lot of ECIs on animal welfare and animal topics, but also many other.
I think I saw one about refugees as well. Aren't there a lot of European Citizens Initiative as well about immigration, refugees?
Currently there are 2 collecting. Mm-hmm. They're a bit different because one is called Dignity for Migrants and the other one is Stop Border Torture. So it's in a way similar, but they are not exactly the same. They have exactly the same objectives.
Okay.
But in general, fundamental rights, there are quite a lot as well.
Now, how can people stay informed about ECIs? How do you communicate? So you told me about the ECI forum. There is also the newsletter that you can subscribe to. Do you have a lot of subscribers to this newsletter?
Yes, we have 120,000 subscribers.
Okay,
we are still looking for more.
Uh-huh.
So feel free to subscribe. Uh-huh. On the ECI website, there is a way to subscribe. There is a way to follow the news that are posted there regularly. There is also a Facebook group. It's quite recent. We're hoping to get 1,000 followers soon and hopefully many more later. So these are the main channels. Also the DG communication on the general social media of the Commission, so the European Commission. Once post usually information about newly registered ECIs, replies.
Mm-hmm.
This year was a record one. We got already 3 and the 4th one in December. So and any other important news about the ECI.
Right.
Also can be found there.
As a member of the ECI team and also as a former translator, is there, you know, anything we haven't mentioned that you would like to convey to translators or to DGT about how we collaborate?
Yeah, well, we are very thankful to the translators for their work, and I'm very thankful. So, and I admire how they translate the titles. Sometimes it's not easy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes those are kept in English if they are very specific, but still in brackets the translation. Yes, and now, for example, we have sent a big package for a video competition for schools, where secondary school students can submit their videos where they present their ideas for ECI.
Oh, excellent.
And the prize is a study visit to Brussels, to the institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And the package was quite big, because nowadays you have to include all the privacy statements
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
this kind of information, and also,
yeah.
of course, the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely. We're looking forward to the to the translation, so that we can promote the competition in the whole of Europe, because
okay.
that's also the idea of the ECI, that it has to be, all the material should be available in all the languages. That's,
mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
the idea, to be fair
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
all.
Yeah, I was talking to a lady from DGCOM who was working for the conference on the future of Europe, and who's now leading the citizens panels, and she was saying how important multilingualism was for participatory democracy, because not everybody speaks English, not everybody has access to the English content, so she was saying how important multilingualism was in this context, and obviously translation. I guess you would agree with that.
Definitely, yes. Mm. I think we see it also on social media when there are reactions and so on, that people do reply in their own languages. They expect to see mm-hmm. content in their own languages, and we also know that the ECI organizers themselves, they translate their own campaigns. They do an effort to communicate in different languages.
Anything else you wanted to mention that we didn't talk about?
Well, I would encourage everybody to have a look at the ECI website. It's easiest is to Google for European Citizens Initiative.
Yeah.
You'll find it. If you find any ECIs that you find interesting to sign, uh-huh. go ahead. Yeah, remember we did once a training for policymaking hubs, so for colleagues in the ECI.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a little quiz, and we asked, can you, as an EU official, can you actually sign ECIs? One of the options or the answers was, you have to check with your hierarchy. Kima, no, you don't have to. It is your EU citizen's right.
I hope not, because I've signed quite a few, so I never asked anybody.
No, indeed, we were right. I mean, it's your EU citizen's right uh-huh. as anybody else. And also spread the news. We hope that also EU staff becomes ambassadors
mm-hmm,
for
mm-hmm.
for different things the EU is doing for citizens, and especially the Citizens Initiative.
Well, thank you very, very much, Barbara. Thank you very much for, you know, spending a bit of time with me and telling us more about the ECI. And how fruitful is our collaboration. So thank you.
Thank you. Looking forward to many new signatures and many new people interested in the ECI.
This was DGT Radio with Barbara Valentinovic, member of the ECI team in the Secretariat General of the European Commission. You also heard the politicians Alain Lamassoure and Olivier Chastel in the European Parliament, in an archive from the Euractiv YouTube channel. The music, called Days Past, is by Inclosing. Thank you for listening.